This morning I'm going to attempt to do some Pentecostal preaching. Now, many, if not most of you, when you heard the word Pentecost, immediately thought of tongues, signs, wonders, miracles, and so forth. Well, I want to tell you what went on at Pentecost and try to preach the same things the apostles declared at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, where this story is told, it reads this way. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the apostles and other disciples, fellow believers, those who had one Lord, one faith, one hope of their calling. They were together with one accord," or that is, one purpose, one mind. Those who, as Paul said in Philippians 3, worshipped God in spirit, rejoiced in Christ Jesus, and had no confidence in the flesh. Well, these believers were gathered together this day. And verse 2 says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This is the Holy Spirit," no doubt, "this Spirit which John 3 says bloweth where it listeth." The sovereign Spirit filled this place, it said. And the Holy Spirit is always present wherever God's people are met to worship in spirit and in truth. And Christ is the truth in His name. That is where the Spirit is present. All right, verse 3 says, "And there appeared unto them," unto these disciples, "there appeared cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them," or this wind sat upon each of them, these cloven tongues. Now, this was not a vision or a visible object, as many suppose. But I want you to look at each word with me. It says cloven tongues. Cloven meaning divided. And tongues, the word tongues, always in the Scripture, especially here in Acts, 1 Corinthians 14, other places, means languages. It is not talking about this member of flesh in our mouth, but it's talking about languages. Tongues means languages here. And what happened here? It says divided languages appeared upon them. The Holy Spirit divided or distributed among these disciples different languages for the preaching of the gospel, as we shall see in a moment. Now, they are about to be sent out all over the world to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel to people of different languages. And the Holy Spirit miraculously gives them the ability to speak and understand these languages without going through lengthy studies in schools and so forth. So that's what happened here. He gave them this ability to speak and understand different languages. Look at what these following verses say. Look at verse 6. It says that the people who heard them speak in their own language. Verse 7 and 8 says they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Are these not Jews? Well, how hear we every man in our own tongue or language wherein we were born?" And he speaks of Parthians and Medes and Elamites and so on. And down in verse 11, the Cretes and Arabians said, "We do hear them speak in our tongues," or languages, "the wonderful works of God." And they were amazed. So that's what happened here. The Holy Spirit gifted these disciples with various languages in order to preach. Well, preach what? Well, Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant," or that is, consistent, or always about the business of preaching. He says, do it in season or out of season, Timothy. Preach the word. And plain preaching of the word is out of season today.
I believe we're living in the time that Amos prophesied of.
The last days, which he said it would be a famine, not of bread, but of the hearing of the word. Paul said that to Timothy. They would turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Well, the word here, the word is this fire spoken of in verse 3. It says cloven tongues or divided languages like as of fire. Listen to this. God said in Jeremiah 23, "Is not my word as a fire?" And Jeremiah said in the same book in chapter 20, he said, "His word, God's word, was in my heart as a burning fire." And do you remember when the Lord spoke to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus? They said after hearing him speak, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture?" So, the Holy Spirit, that wind, miraculously bestowed different languages upon these disciples in order to preach the word. And more specifically, Peter said, "This is the word which by the gospel we preach unto you, the word of truth," or the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Well, these Galileans speaking in other languages caused quite a stir among the people who heard them. And this whole event in the purpose of God was leading up to Peter's message here in Acts chapter 2, where Peter stood up to preach and 3,000 people were converted. That's what this whole story leads up to. And in verse 14 it says, "Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said," Peter stands up to preach or declare something unto them. Now, for the sake of time, we cannot read every verse here. But Peter goes on to quote Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And he says that what happened here is a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. But look down at verse 20. Let's pick up there in verse 20. And it says that before the great and notable day of the Lord come, verse 21 says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter said these things are a fulfillment of that prophecy before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Paul said later in Romans 10, Paul said, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Well, Peter is going to preach him whom they've not heard before or believed, the Lord. And perhaps someone today has not heard this true Lord I'm about to declare. Now, all these people had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. Look at verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God." They'd heard of the man, Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter says, he's a man approved of God. There's never been a man ever approved of God. All have come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, this man was the righteous one, the holy one, the holy man. And he says here, he's approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Jesus Christ did what only God can do. He healed the blind, the deaf, the dumb. He raised the dead. And the most notable miracle of all, he forgave sins. Pharisees one time said, "Who can forgive sins but God?" That's right. And this Jesus of Nazareth is none other than God manifest in the flesh. In verse 23, Peter goes on, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter says, although you took him and crucified him, you did what God predetermined or predestined to be done. All these men and women did what they wanted to do, yet they did what God purposed for them to do. The scripture says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And though men and women appear to do as they will, scripture says it is God which worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Scripture says it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, Peter said, though you men and women took him and crucified him, it was God the Father who bruised him, who killed him. And he did it because Christ was the substitute for his elect. He was a sin offering for his people. He's the lamb slain or the blood atonement for the sins of God's chosen people. And Peter went on to say he didn't stay dead. And he quotes from Psalm 16. Look at verse 27. David wrote, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 31, Peter says, David was speaking of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. David wasn't speaking of himself, but speaking in prophecy of Christ. Verse 32, Peter says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. We've seen him after he came out of the grave. Because you can't kill God, that's why. Christ said it, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. You don't kill God. No, no. Verse 33, and Peter goes on to say, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. He hath done this which you now see and hear. This Jesus is right now reigning and ruling and controlling this whole event, this whole episode. This Jesus, you thought to be only a man, is right now at the right hand of God. He's not in your hands. No, no, we are in his hands. Look down at verse 36. He goes on to say, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And the message is the same today. This one whom men call Jesus, whom they think to be nothing more than a man or no greater or more powerful than a man, that he's in man's hands. No, no. We're in his hands. And we don't make him Lord. The scripture says God hath made him Lord. Peter's message at Pentecost, or the gospel, is not what will you do with Jesus, as many preach today. No, no. His message was not, he's in your hands, or won't you make him Lord. No, no. Pentecostal or gospel preaching is this. Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord seated on the throne, reigning, ruling, who gives eternal life to as many as God gave him, to all he died for, and sends his Holy Spirit to effectually sanctify and call and reveal Christ to them. All flesh, all devils even, are in his hands to do with as he pleases. The question is not, what will we do with him? The question, the saving question is, what's he going to do with us? And that's the message that pricked the hearts of all that heard it that day. And they went away that day, not talking about signs and miracles and wonders, but talking about this sovereign Lord seated on a throne. And they called on him, and they repented, and they believed, and they confessed him in baptism that day. This is the message at Pentecost, and this is the gospel of a sovereign Lord in Christ seated on a throne.